The Village of Mount Pleasant announced last week that it would hold the first in a series of monthly briefings starting today about Foxconn Technology Group's $10 billion factory. Site preparation work is underway in Racine County. Meanwhile, state Democratic lawmakers are holding a series of town hall meetings to talk with constituents about Foxconn. That is where we'll start this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic State Senator Jennifer Schilling from La Crosse is Senate Minority Leader. State Senator Schilling, welcome to the program.
Good morning and happy Monday.
Happy Monday. And Democratic State Senator Mark Miller is with us from Monona. He is the Senate Minority Caucus Chair. State Senator Miller, welcome to you.
Well, thank you, Kate, and good morning, Jen.
Good morning.
Well, Senator Schilling, let's start with you. What is your goal as these town halls take place?
Well, along with our colleagues in the Assembly, Democrats are traveling the state and holding these listening sessions on Foxconn, one, to continue to inform the public about this project going forward and how the deal and what that means for budgets move in the state, how it impacts local communities where they are living. As the deal becomes clear and what the legislature voted on was very vague and left many of us uncomfortable with the huge risk and not knowing the answers to many of these questions, now taxpayers around the state are still raising questions, and it's environmental concerns. It's eminent domain concerns that we were hearing now with local property owners there in southeast Wisconsin as the company starts to purchase land for the campus development. It's the transportation costs and what that means with carving out an additional $90 million in transportation for this project and how that impacts projects outstate around the area. So the constituents and the taxpayers are also giving us really good ideas and concerns about the questions that they continue to have, and so we need to monitor this moving forward and be able to hold Foxconn accountable and have transparency about the state's involvement with this for taxpayer protection.
Senator Miller, what are some of the constituents saying to you? What issues have been raised to you?
Well, as Jen indicated, they're concerned about how this is going to benefit them and what risk this puts them at in terms of, their taxpayer money is going to support this foreign corporation, the incentives that have been provided to them to locate in the southeast part of the state in Racine County. A number of people have also been very concerned about the degradation of the environment. Wisconsin depends very much, very heavily on environmental protection, and Foxconn was the beginning of a series of bills that really began to remove environmental protections for the waters of the state.
Senator Miller, do you find that people have a lot on their chest that they want to talk about with you in regards to Foxconn?
Well, their main concern is the fact that Foxconn is getting $4.5 billion in taxpayer money in additional utility and infrastructure costs that they don't see how it's going to benefit them. And it's a deal that the Wisconsin is on the hook for, regardless of how well Foxconn does. And so they are concerned the fact that their communities are the ones that their businesses and their communities should be able to access that kind of support for local businesses. We could just compare. One of the things that we could compare is the two largest deals in Wisconsin's history has been Foxconn and Mercury Marine. And just to compare the two, the Foxconn deal is for a foreign corporation. Mercury Marine is a Wisconsin corporation. Foxconn is what the taxpayers are paying is basically $230,000 for every job that's going to be created, and that's if they create all 13,000 jobs that is their target. Merck Marine was $22,000 per job, is about one-tenth. The taxpayers are going to be paying approximately 4.5 years of the total payroll for Foxconn if they meet the 13,000 employment It'll take me even longer if they don't meet that standard. And Mercury Marine was only 6 months of payroll. So you can see that there's a substantial difference between what was the biggest deal that Wisconsin's ever made with a company and with Foxconn.
So certainly subsidies at the forefront there with Senator Miller talking about that. Senator Schilling, what are your personal concerns about Foxconn?
Well, recently the governor announced, rules or guidelines to his agencies for the next upcoming budget in 2019-2021. And, he requested no growth. And I think that's a direct correlation because of the taxpayers being on the hook for Foxconn. As Senator Miller, indicated, it's a $4.5 billion tax, scheme, risky scheme for this foreign corporation. And as we look at budgets, in the next 2 years, but beyond, it is really hamstringing other agencies and the growth and the investment that we need to be making in our budget for services and programs. And so, that's an overarching concern that I have is for the next 25 years, we will have this commitment. We don't see a payback for 25 years. And we have infrastructure needs of, a long-term sustainable transportation network and how do we fund that. More and more schools are having to go to referendum because we aren't, making the commitment of a two-thirds commitment to our local schools. In healthcare, nursing homes continue to talk about Medicaid reimbursements and losing money in long-term care. And so Foxconn really is this cloud that is over the budget. It is a weight that will really determine our priorities moving forward. And I really believe as we have traveled the state, we've been in Wausau, Chippewa Falls, Menasha, Sheboygan, Green Bay, last week Richland Center. Tomorrow we're going to be in Beaver Dam at 1:30 at the library there. That this is something that is not just a one-and-done kind of a budget deal. It is going to be impactful for the next, two decades plus. And I am skeptical that Foxconn will ever get to that 13,000 employment number. As it is, we have talent development issues and workforce issues around the state right now as I meet with employers that they have needs for well-trained workforce. And this is Foxconn just continues to be something that is going to cost the taxpayers dearly, and it's really kind of at the expense of many of our other priorities and values in the state that we have for public safety and education and health care.
We're talking with State Senators Jennifer Schilling and Mark Miller on this edition of the State Capitol Report. You can join in with your questions, your perspectives on Foxconn, 800-642-1234. Have you attended a town hall on Foxconn? What did you learn? What did you ask about or weigh in on? What questions do you have about Foxconn? 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Senator Miller, once you gather all of this information, what will you do with it from these town halls? What will you do with all of the information that these constituents give you?
Well, this is a response to the questions that we've been getting about Foxconn. How does it work how does it work for me, as people say, and the folks who particularly that are in Jen's district or up in the northern part of the state or over in Green Bay are really wondering, and they're very much concerned. You asked earlier about what some of the concerns were that people had, and one of them is that there has been a redirection of transportation funds to the interstate that's going to be adjacent to where the Foxconn plant is, as well as a redirection of local funds and that's taken money away from the transportation improvements that would have been undertaken elsewhere in the state. And Wisconsin's roads are ranked in the very bottom of, in some cases, the very worst in the country, although that depends on who you talk. But in any case, they're in bad shape, and they have been for a long time for failure to invest in the in maintaining our highways. And so they say, you know, when I go down the road and I see these potholes, I think of them as a Foxconn pothole, as one of the town hall meetings said.
The goal of these town hall meetings is for Democratic lawmakers to meet face-to-face with constituents to better understand what issues Wisconsinites want to talk about regarding Foxconn. State Senators Jennifer Schilling and Mark Miller stay with us for this edition of the State Capitol Report. You can join in with your questions, your perspectives on Foxconn, 800-642-1234. What do you want lawmakers to know on the Foxconn deal? What is on your chest? We'll get back to the conversation after a news update right here on the Ideas Network. Foxconn Technology Group and its construction management firm are seeking bids for the first building to be built on the 800-acre site. It's the second bid package to be released for the project. Calls for an 88,000-square-foot multipurpose building. Bids are due back June 12th. We're talking about Foxconn on this half of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic state lawmakers have held at least a dozen or so town hall meetings around the state. Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling and Senate Minority Caucus Chair Mark Miller stay with us. You have a line to the lawmakers, 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about Foxconn? What do you like or what concerns you? What do you want legislators to know about on the Fox topic of Foxconn? Call in or email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Ryan, who is waiting in Mount Horeb. Hi, Ryan.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a longtime Wisconsin resident. I have moved away for a period of time, but I always find my way back to the state of Wisconsin. And every time I come back to the state of Wisconsin, which has been several times in my working career, I find that it's not the state that I left. I don't know how these things kind of happen. I think this Foxconn is a very bad idea. I have a three-part question for you, and my first part is I'm not sure that this is actually legal for representatives to spend our money before it's even earned. Second of all is, who actually puts the pen to the paper to say that this is absolutely going to happen? And my final part of this question is, how can this be stopped on a grassroots type organization? Because it seems to me that if the legislators have in their mind that this is a proper thing to do, it seems that it's going to pass regardless.
Well, Ryan, let's get State Senator Schilling to respond. How binding is this contract and as it stands as is?
Well, and that is part of, you know, the concerns that we have and the risk that, as legislators, I mentioned that we voted on a very vague, broad idea. And as the contract is signed and more details come out, and weekly there are stories written about the impact. And when we had this legislation before us and were asked to vote on it, there was no discussion about the additional transportation dollars of the $90 million that is now carved out from other outstate communities to be siphoned off to Southeast Wisconsin to help support the transportation project within Foxconn. I think that is one of the reasons that we want to hold these listening sessions, so we can inform the public, you know, weekly and monthly new developments that are happening. And there certainly, if there are any violations of the contract, how quickly we act on that and have pieces in place for clawback, for taxpayer protection of these tax credits. I mean, I think it's very, people are very much suspect that the close ties that the organization, the company that is overseeing this, has a close tie to Governor Walker's, you know, support and as a donor. And so it just doesn't smell right. And I think people are really suspect, you know, are suspicious about this going forward and how much the governor is willing to risk the taxpayers here in this state.
Let's go to Patrick now in Richland County. Hi, Patrick.
Well, good morning to Wisconsin Public Radio, and thank you for the show. Two Democrat senators having listening sessions with a few people around the state, your state senators. You've got access to the newspapers and the radios and the TVs. Use it. Give us something to rally around. You know how weak it sounds when you say you're asking us citizens what's wrong with Foxconn?
Well, Patrick, what is your question, or what do you want the lawmakers to do?
It's simple. They're here for the water. And why are they going to pay? But they're not going to pay good wages. The state has driven down all wages, prevailing wage and everything else. And plus, what is Foxconn actually bringing to the table? Are they that much smarter than us?
Patrick, let's pause right there. Let's go to Senator Miller to get in on this conversation.
Well, you know, it's a good point, is that the governor has shown that he's a pushover for these kinds of mega deals. The WEDIC, the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which has supposed to be the governor's shining example of economic development, has kept Wisconsin lagging behind the rest of the country in terms of the economic recovery from the 2008 recession. There are Foxconn is required to meet certain benchmarks, and if they don't make them, they don't earn the entire the credit package, the cash that we'd be paying to them. But what has happened in the past when WEDIC has made these deals is that when the company doesn't make the benchmarks, they change the benchmarks. It's like if you can't make it to first base, you pull the first base closer to you. And so what we need to have is elected officials who will basically hold Foxconn's feet to the fire and insist that they meet the requirements. Wisconsin has signed the contract. We're on the hook regardless. We are on the hook for the deal that's been made with Foxconn. The only way that we would ever be able to recover any of that money is if Foxconn moves out of the state, if they lie to the state, or if they cease operations in the state. And that is, and that's only in the initial period of when they're here. We have already spent the money up front. And so the idea is to elect elected officials who will not be such pushovers for these kinds of bad deals.
Let's go to Mary joining us from La Crosse with thoughts. Mary, go ahead.
Hi. I've been puzzled from the beginning what hold Foxconn had over Governor Walker and whatever, because I had seen on public TV a program about the time this was all starting that in the Michigan area where the auto plants were and Michigan had cleared off these old plants and there was all that area there that they could build on. And not ruin the environment. And I agree with the other fellow. When we moved to Wisconsin in 1969, we came here for a reason and have seen it decline. So basically since Walker has taken office. But what was the reason the Foxconn chose this particular area to wipe out the area to build a plant instead of going to a state where there would have been areas that would be, to me, more reasonable.
Mary, thanks for the call. Let's go to Senator Schilling with the response to that.
Well, and I echo Mary's puzzlement. I mean, Foxconn has a reputation of promising thousands of jobs and billions in investments that have failed to materialize, as seen in Pennsylvania, in Indonesia, India, Vietnam, and Brazil. And so I'm a bit, you know, suspicious if they will ever materialize to the 13,000 jobs that they had agreed to. I think much of it will be automated or robotic, and we'll never see that 13,000. I think, you know, a deal that tips the scales in favor of a foreign corporation commits taxpayers to $4.5 billion in corporate subsidies and takes money directly from our classrooms, our roads, healthcare. It will leave families and communities at a disadvantage. And Wisconsin, Governor Walker so kind of overpromised this extreme package that is historic in nature, just within our own economic development past, but also other states who had inquired, and other states said we're not going that far, that Governor Walker promised this sweetheart of a deal to Foxconn that they looked at it to be very attractive because Foxconn has very little that they need to put in. They need access to water, and in the process of this plant, and now we have learned that Foxconn is planning to use up to 7 million gallons of water a day from Lake Michigan. And one of the previous callers asked, you know, how could this be stopped? I think one avenue that groups, environmental and conservation groups, are concerned about is that impact to clean air, clean water, and if anything would happen with this Great Lakes Compact, that other states feel that they were not consulted, and that this could have something could happen in the courts, and it could become litigious. And so, because there are a lot of moving parts in this deal, always, but certainly on the environmental impact, that the Great Lakes Compact needs to be consulted, and there are many states that are weighing in and felt that this is in violation, and so that could be a determining point on this project moving forward.
And State Senators, while we still have you on the line here, where is the next town hall, or how many are left? Can you give us the agenda?
Tomorrow in Beaver Dam, at 1:30 to 3 at the library there, is the next one that is coming up. And I know that we've just concluded three others, so I think we've kind of done a package of seven, but I think moving forward, certainly looking to continue to have this conversation. And one of the participants or public that had attended came up to me and said, you know, look, I always knew I didn't support this. Now I know why, because we follow up with a PowerPoint presentation with facts about this deal coming, you know, since the legislature voted on it and Republicans pushed it through. And so it's able to determine how much tax credits the state is on the hook for and local tax incentives, what it means environmentally, the transportation costs. And so it is an education for us as lawmakers, but we're also presenting to the public the facts as we know them now as it's become clearer.
Well, Senators Schilling and Miller, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer Schilling is a Democratic state senator from La Crosse and Senate Minority Leader. Mark Miller is a Democratic state senator from Monona and the Senate Minority Caucus Chair. It is now less than 3 months out from the August 14th primary. It is a dramatic sight. The Democratic field for governor in Wisconsin is the most crowded in a generation, and it remains to be seen what shape the Democratic candidate who prevails will be in after the primary. The Democrats will hold their state convention June 1st in Oshkosh. Meanwhile, Governor Scott Walker is warning of a blue wave. Keeping an eye on all of this is WPR's Political Brain Trust. Laurel White is here, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. Welcome back to you both.
Thanks. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Sean, I'm going to start with you. You're putting together, you and Laurel have this series coming out about features on these gubernatorial candidates. What is the thread that ties them together? You're walking in their footsteps day in and day out?
Well, the thread is that this is a story about a number of candidates that people around the state may not know, I guess. I mean, they are candidate-centric stories. Not so much starting with the issue first, and then where are the candidates? We're starting with the candidates, and who are you? Why are we talking about you to begin with? You know, how did you kind of rise up to a point where you could be taken seriously as a plausible candidate for governor? And, you know, what differentiates you from the rest of this large field?
Laurel, what's the criteria you laid out to determine which candidates to cover? It's such a large field, you couldn't get to everyone.
That's right. So that's a problem that maybe some political reporters haven't faced in the past quite as much as we're facing this year. So there are a number of candidates, and we can't technically profile everybody on that's on the Democratic ballot right now. It's not official yet, of course, but that list that we have.
How many do we have these days?
So I think it's 14.
It's 14 if you take everybody that is registered a campaign and has not yet said, no, I changed my mind, because there have been several candidates already who have said, I'm registered, no, I'm not. I think that the candidates that we talk about most frequently, there are nine of them on the Democratic side. And, you know, don't forget, by the way, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett has not said officially that he won't get in the race, although he's not in there right now.
He only has a couple more weeks because candidates have to file their signatures on their petitions by June 1st, right?
That's right.
So it would, that's kind of the cutoff date. So the time is waning for Tom Barrett. But the way that we narrowed that 14 down to 9 to choose who we were going to profile for this series, we looked at a number
nine Democratic,
right, and
you're
then
also
the governor,
Governor Walker,
right. In case you don't know him, we'll have a feature on him as well.
Well, there are some things we may not know,
right?
About
of course. Right. So the 9 candidates we picked out based on a couple of criteria, they have to have a certain organization of their campaign. So they need to have a treasurer for their campaign that isn't a member of their family. They have to have a campaign office that isn't their house. So we look at the paperwork and make sure that the address that they've listed for campaign headquarters isn't their place of residence, things like that. So we do it. It's hard, you know, because a lot of these lesser known candidates, some people are very excited about and might be frustrated that we can't profile everybody, but we have to follow some criteria in this case.
Generally speaking, how are their coffers? How much money do they have backing them up?
It's not a lot right now. I mean, because it spreads so thin. And we haven't had a fundraising report in a while, but, you know, when we did, nobody was like jumping out with mountains of wealth because it's spread among so many candidates. And you've seen reports out there about some Democratic donors deciding they're not going to jump into the primary, that they're going to wait until post-primary to place a bet. Basically, they're not going to get involved in this 9-candidate race. So it could be kind of a low budget challenge up until August 14th, and you know, fought over potentially digital ads, social media, these candidate forums, and less over the TV airwaves.
Well, social media, they can get a lot of traction that way.
They hope, yeah.
They hope,
yeah.
Right. So what happens then if they do spend their dollars on this side in the primary? How does that put them in shape for the general election, whoever prevails?
I think, at that point, Governor Walker is still, there's still a lot of animosity toward Governor Walker on a national level from national Democrats. And the thinking is that money is going to flow into this race, given the kind of election cycle we might be experiencing in 2018. If there is this, you know, the Democratic wave that the governor talks about so frequently, if it's that kind of a cycle, Democrats are going to naturally want to target a state like Wisconsin, which is competitive, and there is a chance that they could flip the governor's seat. So, I think if there is a candidate emerges, you know, I think you'd see a different flavor to the race almost immediately.
So get ready for a lot of campaign ads after August 14th.
It's a short run between that primary and the general, so that would be when they'd have to flood the airwaves.
We are less than 3 months away from the August 14th primary election. The field of Democrats seeking to unseat Republican Governor Scott Walker is wide open. WPR's politics team has been out in the field profiling 10 of the candidates, and their feature stories will be shared on air beginning June 4th. Is that right? June 4th, yeah. And Laura White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter. Sean Johnson, WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the Democratic field for governor so far? Have you decided to support anyone? Or are you waiting until someone is endorsed by the party or there's a clear front runner? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update here on the Ideas Network.